the dedication is very appropriate to the subject of the shiur, is how quickly things can change. The Torah, of course, this week famously says that new power structures emerged in Egypt, and all that Joseph had done for the Egyptian people, which we really spoke about last week, in his graciousness with them, was forgotten by Yaakov Melech Hadash Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yadat Yosef. And there's a rabbinic dispute, the Gemara Masechta Sota, between Rav and Shmuel. Was it actually a Melech Hadash, or was it somebody who behaved differently, who was ungrateful, Nischad Shulo Gzerosav? But the common denominator here is that, no matter what a person's achievements or accomplishments are, that sufficient passage of time, can change many things. Sometimes for the better, time can heal a lot of things, and sometimes really for the worse, the parsha details with the persecution of the Jewish people. So the basic thesis that I want to try to develop is that this Vayakom Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yadad Yosef was actually part of a process that began in Yosef's own lifetime, and something that he himself was aware of. I'll even make a suggestion that Yaakov was aware of it. Approach this issue and to try to substantiate this premise, I wanted to return to a scene at the beginning of Vayechi, a very puzzling scene, where Yaakov asks Yosef not to bury him, he's going to die, and not to bury him in Mitzrayim. There are different reasons that were given as to why Yaakov didn't want to be buried in Egypt in particular. He was concerned about maybe the Egyptians worshipping him because his arrival was associated with the cessation of the famine. But the simple reading of the Torah is really that he just wasn't so much that he wanted to get out of Egypt, it was more that he wanted to go to Israel. As he says, Vishachavti Mavutai, he describes the process of death as lying with his fathers, which is itself a very suggestive turn of phrase. Unisatani mimitraim ukvartani bikvuratam. As I want to be buried where my parents are buried, in other words, where my father and grandfather and mother and grandmother, etc. And Yosef, despite the fact that it's a kind of a painful request for him, because after all, now Yaakov is asking to be buried next to Leah and not his mother. So Yosef's unhesitating response is, Vayomar, Anochi Asaki Dvarecha, that I'm going to do exactly what you ask me to do. Yosef, to his great credit, is unhesitating. Yaakov's response is very surprising. Yaakov says to Yosef, He shava li, take an oath. As if he's skeptical that Yosef is really going to do this. And Yosef is forced to actually take an oath, vayishavalo. So the question really is, why? He didn't trust Yosef. He felt that Yosef was still angry, maybe over his involvement in the sale, discussed a few weeks ago. It's very puzzling. Why would he mistrust? Why would he be skeptical of Yosef? Yosef, for the last 17 years, has taken care of Yaakov on a daily basis, making sure that the food is sent and that I'm going to die. And I know that I'm not going to merit burial in the land of Israel, not right away. They'll never let me out. It was enough to try to get Dad out. That was a whole story in its own right. But Pakod Yivkod Elokim Etchem, that when God will save you, Vali Temerat Smotai Mizeh. So please take my bones with you. So here I think we see two things about Yosef and the completion of his journey from an immature adolescent who dreamt of his own power. How many people are able to confront their mortality in such a direct way? He's talking about his own bones. I know we're familiar with the story, but just take a moment to think about that. That's pretty, graphic. Vali temer atzmotai, right? Think about oneself saying those words. Think about uttering those words, telling somebody, you're not saying, I'd like to be buried in Israel. Vali temer atzmotai. It's much more visceral and much more profound for that reason. right? So that's number one. But number two is that the person, you know, whose whole life, right, he was always dreaming of power and then exercising power and wielding power and being able to deliver. He was always the one who was able to take care of other people. And what's he saying now? In the end, I need you just as you needed me. Because even the brightest star fades. And my period of power is going to be over, and I am going to be totally and completely powerless. And that's the nature of mortality. That's the nature of life. So, Vayakom el chadash al Mitzrayim, asher lo yadat Yosef, at once is jarring, but it's all part of a process. Yaakov probably saw the beginning of that process, according to the Ramban. That's why he gives him that oath, and he says, use this when you have to negotiate with Paro, that you took an oath, you can't break your oath. It wasn't just like a nice idea. Right? Yosef says it explicitly to the brothers, Atachad al-Kimani, what am I, God? I'm going to stand here and pass final judgment on you. I'm going to, you know, play God. I've moved past that, thankfully. And then finally, you know, the ultimate expression of Yosef, you know, coming full circle, not having to remind everybody about how powerful he is or how powerful he dreams of being, is saying, I'm going to be nothing but bones. Right? But I still want to be part of the Jewish story. And I want to be brought up with you when God will redeem you and your descendants. I want to be brought up with you, you know, to the land, to the land of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Into the Shvatim at that point, so it was almost like it, you know, his family was a part of the brothers at this point.
Right.
So if you're all going,
right. So that's an important moment. You know, the Rashi makes a comment actually in this week's parsha. So Rashi says, yeah, we, you know, we kind of knew that already, right? Yosef Ayab in Mitzrayim, you know, paid attention to the last four parshiot. You remember that? So he says, no, but Yosef Ayab in Mitzrayim, but he was still Yosef in Egypt. That, you know, Yosef is a beautiful line in Rashi, Hu haro'et son aviv, Hu hamelech, you know, oto Yosef. That he didn't let it change him. He always remembered who he was. I mean, ultimately, that's the reason that Menashe and Ephraim get to be part of the family. So just to conclude, this being this idea to its conclusion, is that, you know, all of that tension that the family experienced pursuant to Yosef wanting to be powerful, pursuant to Yosef wanting to rule over everybody, in Yosef's journey to recognize that, as mortal human beings, our power is always limited. Our time is always finite. The moments that we have to execute positions of authority, those quickly fade away. All of this is able to heal the family in a very profound way. And so that Gemara that I was quoting before about the two Aronot, so it finishes in a very interesting way. The Navi says in Sefer Yoshua that the family... Moshe dies, of course, before they come into Israel. So the Jewish people now take responsibility for Yosef. And the Gemara says, you know, why didn't the tribes of Menashe and Ephraim handle this by themselves? So the Gemara says something very subtle, but I think very important. It says they realized they could have done it themselves. They were his children. But kivodo b'merubim. It's a much greater kavod for Yosef that the rest of the Jewish people should do this. So is it just a numbers game? I don't think so. The way that I would interpret that Gemara of Kvodo b'merubim means it's a much greater testament to what our father was able to achieve in terms of healing the family and bringing it back together that we specifically not be the ones to bury him. This isn't about Yosef against the brothers. This is about a moment for healing. So I think the coup de grace then becomes the following. Where was Yosef buried? So at the very end of Sefer Yoshua, it says they buried him in Shechem. Why? So the Gemara says, Mishchem ganvu, az b'shechem kavruhu, that he was sold, he was stolen from Shechem. So now the rest of the Jewish people, Dafka, not Menashe and Ephraim, so their tshuva is to bury Yosef in the very spot from which they sold him, from which they took him, as a way of basically doing tshuva. And so this is the place that we took him from. This is the place that we have to bring him to rest and bring him back to. None of this would have been possible had Yosef sought vengeance, had Yosef sought din. And that's what the brothers expected. Lu yistamenu Yosef. So they throw himself in front of him and they say, Hinenu lecha l'avadim, just like the Egyptians that we talked about last week. And Yosef is unwilling to act out against the brothers. Hatached Elokim ani. So again, we all have to, you know, as we read the story of Yosef, remember this, that power is very fleeting in this world. A person can achieve, you know, the incredible heights of earthly power, and then it all disappears. If not in the person's lifetime, in the lifetime of their children, if not in the lifetime of their children, in the lifetime of their grandchildren. And in light of that, the most important thing to recognize is that if a person finds themselves in a position to make a difference, whether it's a political office or in any capacity, to recognize, as Yosef said, Hatachad Elokim Ani, Atem Chashavtem Alai Ra'a, you had one version, you were trying to harm me, Velohim Chashva L'Tova. And to recognize that very often God puts us in a position where if we're looking for the opportunity, we can make a difference, however small, however large, in just another person's life. And this is something that Yosef came to appreciate and recognize even in his own lifetime. And so if you would tell Yosef, is it possible that one day there will be a Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yadai Yosef? I don't think Yosef would say maybe. I think he would say for sure. That's the nature of these things. And so the important thing is to recognize that life is a gigantic circle. Sometimes we're able to help other people, as Yosef was in Egypt, Vayichalkel Yosef et Aviv ve'et Echav, and sometimes we need to be the recipients of that help as well. Pakod Yivkod Elokim Etchem ve'alitem et atzmotai mizeh. Yosef dreamt of such power, becomes, I think, the ultimate in terms of understanding the limits of power. Yosef, who dreamt of being divine, becomes, I think, the most articulate spokesperson for mortality. He understood power, he had thought about power, he understood its limits. And he becomes, for us, a kind of like a pole star of what it means to use power, however fleeting it is, for the good. Ve'elohim chashva l'tova, God sent me here for a reason. L'chayot lachem le'am rav. Okay, Susan, thank you very much.
Thank you.